kua tai te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.
Yes, it's time for the Scorpio Books Spotlight. I forgot what it was called for a sec.
Spotlight. All right, so Formula One at the moment, yeah, guys. Yeah.
Are there any sports you follow, actually, Josh?
I follow Formula One.
You do?
That's the only sport that I follow.
Right. Yeah. And I see Liam Lawson might almost have a seat or something.
Well, he currently has a seat. So he recently got picked up and he's part of, I don't even know what they're called now, RB, they're Red Bull's junior team. They've had like a thousand different names.
Isn't that
I still
insane.
Think of them as AlphaTauri, but I don't think that's technically that. I think it's Red Bull Visa Cash App or some crap. Yeah, it's silly. But he's in there and he just had a good race. He went from 19th to 9th. It was very impressive. One of the oldest driver in F1, Alonso, had some beef with him, which was funny.
How old is Alonso?
He's like 40-something.
Right, okay, so it is, like most sports, it's a young man's game.
It is a young man's game, right. Yeah. I mean, Hamilton is also he's in his 30s and stuff, so it depends.
Okay.
But yeah, mostly younger guys.
People are into that now. I need to.
I know,
on
I
the
mean,
bandwagon.
I am admittedly one of the people who I started by watching Drive to Survive.
Yeah, yeah.
But like also sometimes people will be like, oh, you've only been a fan since Drive to Survive. And it's like, well, Drive to Survive did come out about 5 years ago. So like,
and,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
That's a pretty long
and also,
period of time.
That was the entire strategy of that show.
Of course, yeah. Like they made that show because they want people to follow the sport.
Yeah,
and it worked because
yeah,
I watched all the show. And then this year I was like, why don't I just actually watch the races?
Wow.
And now I've watched every race. So
sure,
yeah.
I might get into it.
It's a good sport.
Anyway, we're going sort of like big on the books this week, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of the world of books.
Yeah.
This is like the celebrity of celebrities.
Oh, yeah. This is, It's book season.
Oh, no, I did actually bump into someone from Scorpio Books over the weekend.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They were like, oh, we've got a lot of Christmas stock.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But this is the time of year where you have to have a lot of books on hand because, everyone's starting to buy a lot more. And then you start being like, where are we possibly going to put all of these books?
God.
But, you know, we work it out. We find space.
Hey,
we make sure your books are here. We soldier on.
We do.
Exactly.
So, anyway, I'm not going to pronounce it correctly, so I'm just going to leave
it. It's not too tricky. It's Intermezzo by Sally Rooney.
Intermezzo.
It's a book that I imagine many, many people have heard about
because
it's Sally Rooney, and who doesn't hear about Sally Rooney? And this is her latest book. It just came out, I want to say, either just at the start of this month or just at the end of last month. I think it was just at the end of last month, some 28th of September or something like that. At first, I wasn't going to read it, you know? I'll be honest with you all. Sally Rooney is someone who has kind of passed me by for the most part. It's not usually...
Yeah, right.
It's not usually the genre of book I go for. I've heard mixed things from people that I trust about some of her other books. I know some people who love them, some people who aren't so into them. And so I've always just... I wouldn't quite go as far as to say I was a Sally Rooney hater because I hadn't read any of her books.
Yeah,
so you know. But I was always someone who kind of, you know, and maybe... I don't know, not nicely of me just kind of passing by. It was like, it's not for me. It's just like, whatever.
Right.
And then this one came out and the cover was great and it had a bunch of press and one of the characters was a chess guy and I like chess and I was like,
are you saying you judge a book by its cover?
I do judge a book by its cover.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to say it to everyone out there.
You heard it here first. You're allowed to.
I'm going
to
say it from everyone out there. Everyone does. Everyone claims they don't, but everyone does. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry. Sometimes, and look, it's not that there's times where I read a book and the cover's awful and then the book ends up great. But at the end of the day, the cover is a reflection. You know, obviously it also comes down to marketing and publishing or whatever. In a certain sense, the cover is an expression of the author's, like, kind of artistic style.
Totally.
Right?
Yes.
Like, illustration and art and whatever is also a reflection of your tone. And so if you immediately don't jive with that, then, you know, there's a chance you're not going to jive with the book.
Exactly.
But not always. You shouldn't always do it. And, you know, if there's a book that you read the back and you think looks great, but the cover's bad, you know, give it a try. But we all judge books by their covers. And we're not going to pretend that we don't.
No, absolutely.
Intermezzo.
This is great.
Thank you. Intermezzo has a great cover. And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. I've got a free spot in my reading schedule. nothing else is out that I really want to read at the moment. I got time. I'll do it. And I was blown away. I was floored.
Oh, wow,
I was
really?
Way more impressed than I thought I was going to be. I thought I would probably like it. I'm pretty easily, you know, swayed by a book. Unless really, really bad, I'll probably be like, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
But I would go much further with this. I would say it was great. I would say that...
Wow.
I'm sure there's lots of people out there who have already read it. People that are Sally Rooney heads, rune heads, I'm going to coin that term, I've decided, have probably already read it and they probably liked it. But I imagine there's a lot of people out there who were kind of like me who thought, I've heard of Sally Rooney, and I don't know if it's really for me. I feel like the bigger buzz there is around something, often that also creates the opposite, where there's a lot of people that are like, because it has a big buzz, yes, oh, it can't be that good, totally, and I'm not going to read it or whatever.
Yep.
I would say give this one a try. So for the people that don't know what the story is, it's told via a couple different perspectives, but mainly two perspectives. I was pronouncing it when I read the book Ivan, but I don't know if that's right. It's I-V-A-N, so I guess it's Ivan. So anyway, Ivan.
Ivan sounds so
I know.
Better.
It's one of those things where you start saying it that way, and then it's just like, I'm trapped in now, you know?
Yeah.
So Ivan and Peter are two brothers. Before the book starts, their dad passes away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of both of them dealing with the grief of that, as well as their own messy lives, and also their sibling relationship as well. So Ivan's younger, he's 21, 22, he's a chess prodigy, was a fantastic chess player in his teenage years. He's still pretty good, but he hasn't really played professionally in many years. Their dad died, but it was like a long cancer battle over like 5 years. Since that all started, he was very close with his dad, and it's kind of, you know, he hasn't been able to really get into chess in the same way he once
did.
Of course. And Peter is a lawyer with substance abuse issues, who's kind of in a relationship with a younger woman. And also kind of has like, he's like 31, and also has like kind of a long time on and off situationship with someone that he dated back in uni. And so it's that story. And also Ivan meets an older woman. So he's 21. He meets like a 36-year-old. And so it's kind of their dueling relationships, as well as their kind of dual grief process around their dad.
They're
Irish, obviously. It's a Sally Rooney book. Everyone's Irish. And so, you know, and I'm not going to claim that I know a huge amount about Irish culture, but I know kind of like, I was going to say kind of like the English, but I feel like that's so offensive to say about Irish people, so I won't say that. I'm English. I'm very sorry.
Well, as someone who's Irish, I can just say the reason she makes her books all about Irish people is because they're freaking miserable.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it's not a culture where someone dies and everyone gets together and has a grieving circle and cries, you know? It's very much like you deal with it privately.
You just get pissed to bits at the funeral,
and then you just kind of go, well, that was sad. Anyway, back to life.
More or less.
Which, you know, isn't necessarily a great and healthy way to deal with the death of your dad. But the main thing that I found about this book, that I know people have said about how other books, and, you know, I obviously did not have the ears to hear at the time, is just how realistic these characters are. The writing style is very stream of consciousness. It's very much like everything happening in their head, and that kind of stuff. And just how there's so many situations in the book that, you know, aren't one-to-one parallels with things that I've gone through in life, but there's just so many moments where you think that is exactly what it's like, you know, like when these siblings talk to each other and they're just so good at bringing the worst of each other out,
you know,
like they have quite a messy relationship and they're just, those sibling interactions just were really like, that is so what it's like.
When you know
that they're kind of on your side, but also like you've had your whole life kind of almost battling against them. And you don't want to, everything that they say, you take in like the worst possible way. There's no grace. There's no anything. It's just like, oh, I can't believe you said it. It's like, that's not even what I meant. It's like, yes, it was.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff was just, yeah, it was wonderful to see. It's not necessarily a super joyful books. They're joyful like, book.
Sally Rooney books never are.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, I was expecting it to be almost more down in the dumps than it was.
Wow, okay.
There's definitely moments of levity. There's moments of joy. I think I was surprised at how much I enjoyed the relationship between Ivan and the older woman, I'm forgetting the name of right now, which is terrible of me. But, you know, oftentimes age gap relationships, you just are immediately kind of weird and icky and whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I really liked in this one, there is moments, you know, inside Ivan Sell where he's like, is it weird that I'm with this older woman? But, like, it seems fine, and everything's getting along.
Totally.
And, you know, a big thing in their relationship is her constantly being like, you know, you're so young, like, you're gonna go and meet someone else, and, like, I feel like I'm wasting your time.
I always think that,
which
I feel,
yeah,
if I was like the older person,
exactly.
In a
and she's kind of very aware of that and is like, should I even be doing this? Like, everyone around town's gonna think I'm like crazy, and it was just, yeah, it was just done in such a way that, you know, that's not a situation that I've ever been in before, but I felt like I really understood it. Just both of them were so accurate and real. I mean, it was almost challenging to read at times, because I was like, you know, a lot of times books are escapism, and at least for me, I read a lot of sci-fi fantasy because it's, you know, far away from anything in real life.
Yeah, of course.
And so there was times in this I was like, oh, this is too real, this is too,
oh my god,
intense, this is too, you know, like when they're talking about or Peter, when he's talking about his relationships, and he's like, you know, I feel gross and weird when I'm with this younger person, but she doesn't seem to see it that way. But also we really get along, and also, like, I do love her, but, like,
so,
I know, so complicated and messy. And
I can understand how it would be. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, adds to the realism, because as much as I enjoy, you know, a story about a knight on a fabled quest to steal something, you know, oftentimes the things in there are, you know, in real life, in our modern day, we often don't have that type of, like, singular drive and purpose. Our lives are instead,
that's so true,
you know, incredibly messy combinations of multiple, you know, battling relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, and I read something else recently. I can't remember who it was by. Some old white philosopher dude, probably.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, human beings are kind of almost one of the things that separates us from other animals is that we're kind of the only species that's able to know exactly what's right for us and still do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
actively
yeah.
work against our own self-interest.
Oh, God, that's
and it's
so
something that we all
true.
Do all the time. And
yes.
these characters also do it all the time. We're like, and they're aware of it too. Like, it's not like, you know, you do something and you don't even realize it's the wrong thing. It's like, I know that if I did this, I'd be better. I know that if I did this, things would be easier.
I think that every day.
But I'm not going to do it, because that's kind of either too hard or it's challenging, and I'm just going to go drink instead, or I'm going to go do something else instead, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that is something that we're all guilty of, and seeing it played out on the page can be quite, you know, confronting.
Oh, I can actually imagine that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of a lot to read at times. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm trying to think what else about this book. It's one of those books that you just kind of, you start reading, and at least for me, it just captured me so quickly where I just wanted to read it all the time. And, you know, it would just be things of, you know, oh my gosh, I need to find out how Peter is going to talk to blah, blah, blah about this. And it's like, you know, there's such low stakes. When you kind of describe them to someone, it's low stakes. When you're reading it and you're in these people's heads, you know, it's a massive deal to them, and it becomes a massive deal to you. Which was really cool to see. I will say it does have, and actually I did not expect this. I should have, because I know that normal people, I've seen scenes of the Normal People TV show, and it's saucy. I didn't realize that Sally Rooney was a saucy author. But there's saucy scenes in this book.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought that was, you know, the creative freedom of the
TV show.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that as well. But no, there is, you know, reader beware if you're, you know, have issues with those. Or if you really like them, hey, you know what I got.
Wow, that's exciting stuff.
You know, it's the time for spice and books. And Sally Rooney is not afraid of it. But again, you know, they're written in very, you know, I don't know, they're very poetic scenes, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's,
okay.
It's very
so
much...
So you don't feel as filthy reading
No. Not that there's anything wrong with reading those.
No,
love them. I've talked about them on here
not.
Before. But
I will not shame.
No, definitely not. But yeah.
On that, though, actually, a good last question for you is... And now... This, as many Sally Rooney things, will inevitably get picked up for film television.
Of course, it will.
Cast, leads, any picks?
I'm so bad with casts. I mean, my ideal for every cast is a handful of actors that I've never, ever seen before. You know, because I feel like as soon as
incredibly profound.
Well,
actually.
It's like when I see someone who I've seen a bunch, as good as they do, you know, there's certain actors who you see and you go, oh, that's Doctor Who, you know, and it doesn't matter how well they do, and it's a shame, but like when I'm watching House of the Dragon, Matt Smith's performance, amazing, beautiful, still catch myself sometimes being like, that's Doctor Who, you know, and it's a shame because they're doing great. So my ideal cast for everything moving forward, actors get a one project life.
Yeah, you get one job, and that's it.
But I mean, if we're being honest, probably, you know, Paul Mescal's got to be there somewhere, right?
Figured,
you know, he's actually, you know, it would be great. Oh, Barry Keoghan would actually be really good as Peter,
really?
I feel like. I don't know who would play Ivan. I don't know anyone young enough. I feel like Barry Keoghan could, but he's too old now. Well, because Ivan has a very, you know, he's deliberately described.
Yeah, he's only 21, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's deliberately described as, you know, he's still kind of youthful looking and lanky and whatever.
Right.
Oh, that was another thing that was in this that I really liked. It's not a huge plot point, but I thought it was really good. The character Ivan, kind of before all the events of the book and his teenage years, was very, like, incel-y and, like, you know, chronically online, like, well, why should I have to, like, he has a thing in the book about he used to think, you know, well, why should I have to stand up on the bus for a pregnant woman to sit down, you know,
like
I didn't choose to get her pregnant, and I'm just as important as her, and blah, blah,
we'll
blah.
Meet people like
and
that.
It's a very small plot point, but, you know, as someone who grew up in the internet age and has seen people kind of do that, it was really cool to see someone, and also see, like, him then also talk about, like, and now, you know, when I stand up for someone so that the pregnant woman can sit down, I don't do it out of some sense of like, oh, well, I have to. It's more like, oh, this is just nice and feels good.
Yes,
and like, you know, shows that people are good when you are nice to people. And that actually does make yourself feel better as well.
That's an important point.
It was. It was a small plot point, but it was just one that I personally really, really
like
enjoyed.
That.
Yeah. So Sally Rooney, Intermezzo. We've got lots of stock. Everywhere's got lot. Well, actually, not everywhere's. Most places have lots of stock. It's a big book. You should get it.
Though,
it's a great cover.
I would say quickly, because it may probably...
I mean, as Christmas comes up, it's definitely one of those books that, you know, when people are like, I don't know, they've read Sally Rooney. Boom, that's the new one. Easy.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
So it will probably go, but I'm sure we'll keep plenty in because it's one of those releases, you know.
Yeah, well, Josh, it is a pleasure to have you here.
Thank
as
you.
Usual.
Pleasure to be here.
Talking about Sally Rooney.
I'm a Rune head. I'm Sally pilled.
You're a Rune head now.
I'm Sally pilled and I'm Rooney maxing.
Do we know what Intermezzo means?
It means a few things. It's a type of move in chess. Hence one of the characters is a chess player.
Yeah.
It's also a musical thing. I don't know exactly what, but it's some term in like orchestral music. I think there's a third meaning as well. But yeah, you know.
Of course.
Of course.